I don't know if you've been paying attention to Facebook or any of that stuff. Our friends at Find Church Battleground has been running a bunch of ads. So you may have seen my face and other pastors' face of videos of a new sermon series that we're going to do. But this week, we are doing something that I think is pretty awesome. And that is five churches in Battleground and one in Hawkinson are joining together to do a joint sermon series called Hope is Greater Than Despair. And our goal in getting all the churches together to do this is, one, to show that there's a unified body of Christ. One of the coolest things about the city of Battleground in our move here, I have to say, is that each and every single one of those pastors who's there is a friend of mine, and I can vouch for them as people and for their churches. And there's just a great sense of camaraderie. And we get together every Thursday at 9 a.m. to pray. And so we meet. And after one of the meetings, Eddie, the guy on my right, your left, who's the associate pastor at Landmark, came up to a couple of us and said, you know, I just feel like there's a way that we could do stuff together as a church. And so we started brainstorming about what's a way that we could show that there's a unified body of Christ. And we decided that one of the ways that we could do it is to do a joint sermon series. And at the same time, Curtis Miller, who is involved with a group called Connect BG, started telling us about ACEs. And he's on your your right. And ACEs is a study that was done back in the 1990s. It's called Adverse Childhood Experiences. And what it's found is that our world is really hurting. And that the stats are staggering about how much pain and suffering we've gone through. And I know many of your stories, and I know that you've gone through some pretty traumatic stuff. But what they found is that if people endure 10 types of trauma or difficult circumstances, and then that could be physical abuse or emotional abuse or sexual abuse, it could be not quite abuse, but it could be even physical neglect or emotional neglect, or if there's mental illness or there's incarceration, or if they see even a mother being treated violently, or there's substance abuse, or there's divorce, that the stats are staggering at the effect that it has on people's actual everyday life. Now, just think back to this list of stuff that we have. Oh, you don't see the image. That is weird. Okay. The stats are staggering in the way that it works, but the way that things work right now is that if you are have an ACEs score between, in other words, if you've gone through 1 to 3 of these, which is over 50% of the population, that your likelihood of suicide, 1 out of 10, it literally becomes 10 more times powerful. And your substance abuse and those kind of things gets even higher. And if you have 4 to 8 of those things, these behaviors right there, it gets even crazier as far as the way that things work. You're more likely to smoke. You're more likely to be an alcoholic and to use IV drugs. And the stats just are off the charts. And what we need to see is that this is over 2/3 of our world's population who's going through this difficult circumstance. And it is really, really hard. We live in a hurting world. But the thing that really got us, as Curtis was sharing, is it doesn't just happen. I mean, it makes sense to me that if you live in a broken home and you see abuse going on, that you would tend to abuse alcohol and those. But what they found in this Kaiser Permanente study, the original one, is it not only has an effect on your kind of substance abuse and your mental health stuff, but you're actually also more likely to have health issues, broken bones, stroke, cancer, heart disease, and all these different things. And what they're finding is that this is having a huge effect on not only our mental health of the people around us, but our physical health. And our hearts broke. As pastors, as we heard this stuff, our hearts broke because we know that we have folks in our church who are struggling with this because you guys have had to go through tons of this stuff. And not only that, we have people in our community that are so isolated and disconnected that they're hurting too. And so we thought about, what can we do? Well, Curtis not only shared the stats with us, but he also shared how we can actually overcome them. And as he started to share these things that they're finding, they used the word resilience. All the pastors were literally, because we sit around at this big table, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, duh, this stuff makes sense. I mean, everything you're telling me that we should do to help overcome this despair is like Bible 101. It's the gospel. I mean, we were like, I mean, these guys, we felt like the sociologists and the psychologists were like catching up to what the Bible's been teaching for years. And there's a reason for it, because the Bible is truth. And so we decided that we were going to do this joint sermon series together and deal with the issues, but teach it from the Bible's way to show that the Bible teaches the truth and that it has the ultimate hope over despair. And so for the next 4 weeks, every church is going to preach a similar topic. Now, we're going to all do it our own way. Here at Crossway, we preach expositionally, which means we're going to look at a text, and the text that we're going to look at is Romans. And in that text in Romans, we're going to find out, and we're going to look at it and see what that text says, how it says that there's hope for a hurting world. Now, some of my other friends preach more topically, and they'll look at more of the Bible in general. But every week in those five churches, we're all going to be dealing with a similar theme and preaching that hope is greater than despair. And so I'm pretty excited about this. Because I think that it's a great message for all of us. And not only that, it's a great way for us to show that we are a unified body of Christ. And we really are. So if you want to turn with me to your Bibles to Romans 5 verses 1 through 5, that's the text that we're going to look at. I believe it's actually on page, I think it's 914 and 1750. But I have 890 there, so maybe I'm wrong. My notes didn't quite line up, but it's Romans 5. If you're in Acts, just go a little bit further down the road and you'll end up Romans. And you can listen along, or if you prefer to follow it on your device, we do have the YouSermon version with notes and also the text up there as well, and you can follow that link. So, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, and it says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Now, I've said it in the beginning, and I unfortunately the stats didn't show up there. I don't know why it showed up on my back screen, but not here. But the reality is that we live in a hurting world. And as we uncover each other's stories and as we share each other's stories and get to know each other, what we learn is that we are not a perfect people who have perfect lives, but rather we all struggle with difficult things in our lives, and we've gone through difficult things in our lives. And one of the things that I love about the Bible is that it doesn't pull any punches and it doesn't gloss over these things. As a matter of fact, if you look at this text right from the get-go, it admits that everyone will suffer at some point in their life. You see that here in Romans 5:3. It says, "Not only so, but also be glory in our suffering." The implication there is that it's not a matter of if you will suffer, it's a matter of when you will suffer. I've heard it said that we're all in some kind of a cycle of suffering. We're either in the midst of it, where we're going through a difficult trial and wondering whether or not this suffering will ever end. We're either coming out of it, or we're in a period of refreshment before we enter in. Now, that may seem depressing to you, and that may seem like, well, I mean, what are you saying? I'm going to have to suffer and continue to go through all these trials in my life. And the answer is yes, to some degree, we will all suffer. Now, it doesn't always go through the same level of suffering, but we will always face difficulties. And the difficulties that this church, that the Apostle Paul, who's the writer of Romans, if you're newer to church, the book of Romans is a letter written from a leader of the church, Paul, to members of a church in Rome, hence the name Romans. We're really creative with our letter titles. And so he says to this group of people that you will suffer. Now, these people are probably suffering for their faith. The letter was probably written a few years before Nero's widespread persecution broke out, where you hear these horror stories of people being burned on the stake and fed to animals in front of crowds. But the reality is that these people were probably beginning on the cusp of the suffering, and they were going through this. And what the Apostle Paul wants them to know is that even though they are suffering and going through difficult circumstances, that they do not need to despair, because God's hope and Christ's love is greater than that despair. And that's the message that he communicates in this passage. Now, I want us to be honest with it and say this right off the bat, that we all face various types of trials today. And the Bible, as I said, repeatedly says this, that we will face issues. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And those trials are all kinds of things that cause us harm and pain. And they're the result of living in a broken world with broken people. And when two broken people get together, we hurt each other. That's just the reality the Bible teaches. But what they want us to know is that that is not the end. But I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about the type of pain and suffering that you've either endured in your past life or that you are enduring currently today. We all suffer. I mean, some of you, when you saw that list of things, the abuse, you were physically abused, you were sexually abused, you were emotionally abused and verbally abused, and your lives were shattered as a kid because of it. You had to endure that. Some of you, I hope not, but maybe going through that even right now in the midst of it. But we can face other kinds of trials. I mean, some of us, it's a relational trial. Our love, our relationship with our family, which is supposed to be this loving and supportive thing, is completely broken. We're estranged from our kids or estranged from our parents or estranged from even our siblings and those loved ones around us. And so we feel broken and alone. Maybe our marriage is on the rocks and we're wondering, Lord, I don't know if we're going to even make it through next day, let alone make it through, live happily ever for the rest of our lives. And we feel that's a trial that we're facing. Maybe you're facing a financial trial. You lost your job and you're looking unsuccessfully to find work. You thought you could retire early, but you're facing all kinds of issues because of health stuff or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's not even a trial in the sense of that a bad thing's happened to you, but rather you're facing new challenges, and those challenges are overwhelming. You got a new job or a new kid, and man, being a parent's really hard, and so you face that kind of trial or challenge. The reality is that we all face trials of all kinds, and when we face trials, when we face suffering, we can wonder, will we ever endure? Will we be able to make it? And so I want to not only ask you what kind of trials you're asking, but you see, this text also says that we need to think about our attitude towards suffering and that our attitude towards our suffering matters. So what I want to ask you is, how do you view your suffering? See, my wife, she's not here today, unfortunately, because of my sick kid. But if she was here, many of you don't know is that my wife actually has a master's in counseling. Now, she's only practiced on me because I desperately need all the help I can get. But she decided to be a stay-at-home mom. But she actually has a master's degree in counseling that she got from Western Seminary. And I'll never forget that when she went through a childhood experience trauma class, she came back and we would talk about it because one of her goals for a while, and it still may be after our kids get older, is that she would work with kids as a child life specialist in the hospital setting. And so we would talk about what this she learned in this class. And in this class, they talked about the difference between trauma and hardship. Now, trauma and hardship can actually be the same thing. We can suffer similar experiences, but in trauma, we're broken by it. In hardships, we're able to endure. And she said that the difference of this between trauma and hardship is trauma is the type of suffering that locks us up and that makes our world shatter, versus hardship is the kind of pain and suffering that we can endure. And the difference between those two is your attitude and whether or not you have hope. Hope is the difference between trauma and hardship. You and I can go through the same experiences, and if we don't have hope, our suffering can seem to break us, and it can be traumatic, and it can dramatically hurt us. But if we have hope, if there is hope, then it can become a hardship that we can grow from. And what we need to understand is that yes, we will suffer and yes, we will face difficult circumstances, but we need to not only think about our suffering and be honest about the pain that we endure, but we also need to think about our attitude towards it. And the attitude that the Apostle Paul says in this text backs up what this sociologist or this professor said and actually what the ACES study says. And that is this, that he urges us to glory, to have hope in the midst of our suffering. He says, not only this, but we encourage you to glory in your suffering. And James says the same thing in chapter 1. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know what your reaction is to that text, but for me, I go, that kind of sounds a little masochistic. I mean, does it mean that I got to like really enjoy suffering and that I need to enjoy the fact that my life is really hurt and broken and I need to search after it? No, that's not what he's saying. He doesn't say go search after pain and do everything you can to get it. He doesn't say do that. On the flip side, he doesn't say, hey, you know, joy doesn't mean that you have to put on the happy face and pretend that life's all perfect and that we got it all figured out. You know, like I have to minimize my hurt and pain. No, the Bible walks this fine line of saying, listen, we can be honest about the hurt that's coming in our lives and we can be honest about the pain that we feel. But we can still have joy in the midst of it. And we can still have hope in the midst of it. That our suffering does not get the final answer in our life. That hope can be greater than despair. And in our text, Paul lays out three different things, three different attitudes and reasons why we can have three things that suffering can produce that are positive experiences in our lives. There's a story told of a donkey who fell into a well. And the owner did everything he can to get this donkey out. And he couldn't lift him up. He couldn't pull it up. So finally, he started to think, the most humane thing I can do is bury this donkey. And so he started dropping the dirt over top the donkey. And the donkey freaked out because he had an understanding of what's happening. But then the donkey got smart and he realized that if he just pushed the dirt over to the side and stood up on top of it, that he was able to rise himself out of the well. Now, it's a little bit of a glib story and a little bit of an anecdote, but I want you to think about this. My prayer for my kids and my prayer for myself is that I'm honest. If I'm stuck in a well and feeling in a pit of despair, that even though it may feel like things are coming over top me and it is overwhelming and that they are going to bring me down, that somehow I'm able to rise up. And that's exactly what happened in the story. The farmer kept on putting dirt and the donkey kept on brushing it off and putting it over top. And soon the donkey got its way out after hours and hours of work. It was able to rise above the suffering. And here's the thing. The Bible tells us that God can use all things for our good. It doesn't say he just uses the good things in our lives. It says that he can use even those traumatic experiences and those difficult things that we go through. We don't know why he allows certain things to happen. I don't know why he has allowed you to suffer in the way that he does. And we need to be honest that those things hurt. And they break God's heart to see you in pain as well. But he can use even the most painful circumstances and help us to grow and become the people that he wants us to be. And sometimes, this is my own life I'm speaking as a testimony, the darkest times in my life are the times where I didn't know if I was going to be able, my faith was going to be able to hang on, or even, you know, it's just so dark and you wonder whether or not you're going to even be able to function. But I know that it's in those times that I've grown the most. And Paul wants to remind us of that truth. And he says that there are three things that can come, three positive things that can come from suffering. And if you look out throughout the Bible, I could have preached on James. I could have preached on that one passage, James 1. I could have looked at 1 Peter. Because repeatedly throughout the Bible, three apostles say that God can use even the most difficult circumstances for our good. And that gives us hope that's greater than our despair. And so let's look at this text. Let's look at the ones that he says. The first thing he says is that suffering can produce perseverance. Now, perseverance is this kind of fortitude. It's kind of a singular kind of mission in life. It's this ability to kind of hang on and a patience that's there. The best visual image I can give you is that of a rock climber who's able to kind of dig their hands in and use what you and I may think, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I have the ability to grip anything and pull up any, you know, do that. But they're able just to hang on. There's a focus there and there's a strength there that they didn't even know. And what Paul reminds us of, the thing that he tells us is sometimes suffering shows us and produces in us a strength and a perseverance that we didn't know we ever existed. I mean, we don't know that we can go without sleep for years or for days until we become a parent, right? I mean, how many sleepless nights have you had to endure as a parent? When I was a single guy, I thought I couldn't go without, you know, I needed to sleep until 11 o'clock because I'm so tired. And I needed to function that way. And then all of a sudden I have this little bundle of joy who wakes me up in the middle of the night. And I'm like, how am I going to ever survive? But I'm able to survive. Why? Because God, you persevere. And it's not until you see that circumstance that that circumstance shows that you have that ability. And sometimes God will use our suffering to show us our perseverance and build that kind of fortitude, that ability to hang on and to hold on. Now, there's hope because it's not really about us, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the point is that God can use our suffering to produce perseverance. Paul says, not only so, that we put also our glory in suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance can produce character. Character is this moral compass. It's this depth of a person that you know that they just have gone through all kinds of difficult circumstances. I don't know about you, but the people that I can just, there's when you meet them and when you talk to them, you may not know their life story, but there's just something you know that those guys have gone through some really difficult circumstances because of the way that they carry themselves and just the way they talk. They didn't have an easy life, but it didn't. Their suffering didn't break them. It made them a better person. They're more humble because they realize that everything they have is a gift. They're more compassionate to others because they know what it's like to suffer. And so when they see other people suffering, they reach out to them because they themselves have suffered. And what the Bible tells us, what Paul tells us is suffering can not only produce perseverance, but it can produce character as well. The image that I like to use there is that the suffering is like a weight over top of us, and coal on its own is just coal. But when it goes underneath all this pressure and that, it produces a diamond. And sometimes God can use difficult circumstances to create a diamond inside of us, that He can improve our character and help us to become more of the people that He's called us to do. And it's not easy. It's not painless. No one wants to go through suffering. But what we see in this text is that we're not helpless, that our bitterness doesn't, our brokenness doesn't need to make us bitter. It can actually make us better. And it doesn't need to break us. It can actually make us more whole. And that God can use suffering to produce character in us. That's what Paul reminds us. That suffering can do that. And the other thing that suffering can do is that it can uncover hope. Romans 3 verses 4, if you read it all the way through, it says that suffering will produce perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. Now, this is kind of counterintuitive. I mean, the reality is I don't think that when I go through difficult circumstances in life, and when I feel like my life is hanging on by a thread, that I feel like my life is more hopeful. I'll be honest with you, the times when I've really suffered in my life, those times when I have wondered, God, what are you up to? And He and I have gotten into shouting matches because I don't have a clue what He's doing in my life. It feels like He's leading me in this direction, and then I'm getting yanked in this way. And where I wrestle with that, it doesn't feel like He's uncovering hope. It feels like what He's doing is it's a wrestling match and a wondering and a questioning. But what Paul tells us is that when we suffer, what happens is we realize it removes all these kind of false hopes that we have. And the only thing that remains is the true hope that we have, which is Jesus. And the image that I have for that is that of a drought. And this is, I think, Detroit Lake in Oregon, but you can see it about 2015. There are droughts all over California as well. And what happens is, in the drought, they discovered all these things that were under the surface of the water, all these treasures. This is actually an old town that was there, and they found all these artifacts that are beautiful. This is just a wagon wheel, but there's all kinds of beautiful things that are uncovered as the water recedes. And sometimes in your life, we can get so caught up in these things that we think we need for fulfillment. Things like money or perfect relationships or a comfortable life. And we can think that that's what gives our lives satisfaction and meaning. Good health. I mean, you rattle them off. We often think that it's those things in our life that will give us meaning. And when those things are taken away, when we suffer, when those things drown and the water is taken away, what it shows us is that, yes, they on the surface, it's good to want to have good relationships and good health. It's good to want to have a good life. But if those become our ultimate things, then it's not really what our hope should be in. And when those things subside, what we realize is that underneath, inside of us, there is a hope that cannot be taken away. And that hope is faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the bedrock in which all things go. And so even though it feels like our suffering it takes things away from us, it removes the water around us, that God can use that to show us that those little hopes don't have to control our lives. That yes, we can live without money. Yes, we can live and we can glory in Him even in the midst of a broken relationship or financial crisis or whatever it is. But that our ultimate hope is found in Jesus. And that's what suffering does. It removes all these other things away and these things that we think we need to live. And what we realize is we really don't need them. And guys, this can be big things like some of you are facing our health and you've gotten cancer diagnosis and you think, Lord, I don't know if I can live with cancer. And you find out through this that God is faithful to you, even in the midst of those sufferings. It can be small things. I mean, it can be just minor things where we say, you know, 2 weeks ago, we bought a new house and we had a leak right before that big rainstorm. And we thought we could just fix it, but we found out that one side of our roof, they installed incorrectly. And, you know, it's just money. But as I go into that, I'm like, really, Lord, did I need to put on a new roof on half my house? You know, I mean, really, do I need to? I mean, come on, I got all kinds of other things I want to do. Do I really need to do that? And I was reminded of this, Brad, it's just cash. Like, it's just cash. I mean, I gave you a new house and I gave you the money to have on a roof, but we can get so caught up in something as minor as the cash for a new roof. And I'm not minimizing that amount, but sometimes we need to be reminded that those things really don't matter. The thing that really matters is our hope in Christ. And it's suffering little things like a stupid leak in a roof. Really not a big thing on the grand scheme of things, that we're reminded that the things that really matter are not those monetary things or that. That the thing that matters ultimately is our faith and our hope in Christ. And it's suffering. I didn't suffer. My roof didn't leak all the way to where it was dripping and I was going through a difficult circumstance. We caught it early. I'm not saying that I'm suffering. But it's amazing how we can play these mind games, isn't it? I think I'm suffering because I have to wait in traffic or in the line in the aisle of Walmart. And it's like, oh man, my life is going to be completely destroyed because of that. We can play these mind games with ourselves. And what we need to remind ourselves is the things that matter. And when we suffer, it reminds us the thing that's ultimately of value and important in our life. And that is Jesus. And that is our faith in God. I love this quote by David Jeremiah. It says this: it seems to be the universal testimony of those who suffer that it is a clarifying experience. Pain is a type of preparation like no other, allowing the unimportant to fall away and the critical to rise to the top. And when we go through difficult circumstances, that's what happens. God uses that to show us what ultimately matters, that we have faith in Christ. What ultimately matters is that we have a relationship with Him. And yes, our world can be falling apart, and we need to be honest about that. It hurts. But it doesn't have to destroy us, because God's hope and His perseverance and the perseverance that He builds in us and the character that He builds in us is greater than all these things. And that God can use these things ultimately for good. That's what Paul wants to tell the people who are suffering. To say, look, you're going to suffer and you're probably going to suffer for your faith. But the suffering doesn't have to destroy you. And the hope does not need to win, because God's love is greater and His hope is greater than your despair. You know, one of the interesting things about ACEs, and we'll look at these things as the time goes on, is one of the things that they found in the study is that if you have people in your life that you think give you value, if you can find a purpose in life, then your chances of surviving of these traumatic experiences, they don't become traumatic in the sense that I talked about with the conversation of my wife and her professor, but they become hardships that can help you grow, and they can help you become more resilient. Bible word is perseverance for that. And here's the thing that Paul wants to remind us of in this text is that you and I don't have a person who thinks that we're valuable and that we have a relationship with you. That we have a relationship with the Creator God of the universe. And that Christians can always have hope because God is with us in the midst of our suffering. He reminds us of this. I mean, he actually bookends the conversation. I focused on the middle part of the text here that talks about the good that God, that Paul says, that we need to look at our suffering, that it doesn't have to break us, that God can use it to make us better, and how he says that it can help us to grow in perseverance and fortitude and help us to grow in our character and grow in our hope. But on both ends of this, Paul reminds us that we are never alone in our suffering, that we have the Creator God of the universe who has a relationship with us and can help us to endure. He says it in Romans 5. He says, this hope will not be put to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And so what it says is this, is that our hope isn't based on you and I and our own attitude. Our hope is based on Jesus. And that even in the midst of our difficult circumstances where we feel like our faith is hanging on by a thread, that the God of the universe has his hand below us and is holding on to us and helping us to endure these trials. And that should give us hope in the midst of our difficult circumstances. And he says it two different ways. First, in the beginning, he says, look, you need to remind yourselves that Christ's death on the cross allows us to have this personal relationship with God. And he reminds us, he uses theological terminology. He says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what he means by that is this, that our sin destroyed our relationship with God. Your brokenness that you feel, the pain that you feel of destroyed relationships is just this bigger symptom, a small symptom of a bigger problem that's going on. You're broken and you suffer pain because sin has entered the world and we are feeling its results in our suffering. But that sin doesn't just destroy our relationships with one another. It ultimately restores our relationship with the Creator. But that Jesus Christ came on the cross, that he suffered a death on that cross. And on that cross, he suffered the wrath of God for the sins that you and I have. And even though those sins could separate us from God, now that if we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus, that we can have a restored relationship with God. Jesus' death has repaired that relationship. He's justified us and we can have peace. That peace isn't just like peace out. It's not the peace in the sense of like a lack of conflict. It's the kind of relationship that we all desire with those around us. A deep and intimate relationship. And what he reminds us of is even though it may not always feel that way, that if we put our hope and trust in Jesus, that we have a deep and intimate relationship with God. And so we're never alone. And our despair never wins out. Because we have a relationship with God and we always have hope. And he highlights in there that faith in Jesus gives us full access to God. Because sometimes when we suffer, we wonder, like, God, what are you up to? I mean, do you even care about me? I mean, I'm going through all these difficult circumstances. And what this text reminds us of is that Christ's death on the cross just doesn't give us a relationship with God. It gives us full access to God. Now, I may desire to have a relationship with the President of the United States, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be somebody who's going to limit my access to him. Could you imagine if I just went up to the White House and opened up the gates and said, hey, I'm Brad, I'm the pastor of Crossway Church. President Obama needs to have a relationship with me. How would they look at me? They'd say, you're crazy, right? His agents would take me away, right? The Secret Service would say, you don't have access. And what this text reminds us of is that we have constant access through God in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sin. If we put our faith and hope in Jesus and we trust Him as our Savior, that we can approach Him at any time and in any way, that God embraces us in our brokenness. As a matter of fact, if you want to read on in the book of Romans, read one of the most powerful passages, which is Romans 5, 6, and 8, that says that God embraces us as we're broken, powerless, and ungodly. And oftentimes when we suffer, we wonder, does God really care about us? Because we often feel that way. And what this text reminds us of, this is exactly the state that God approaches us and that Jesus comes and His Spirit works in our lives, and that it's exactly in the state that we can approach God because of what Christ has done. So, Christ, Jesus has repaired the relationship and He's given us full access to God, continual. And so, even though we're in the midst of suffering and even though we're in the midst of darkness, we can have a relationship with God and we can have hope because of it. But He also reminds us that it's not about us, that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, that He's pouring out His love. And what that means in those dark times when you wonder, Lord, am I going to even have the strength to get through each day? I don't even know if I can make it through the next hour. That His Spirit is guiding you and directing you. He's encouraging you in ways that you may not even know. And He's strengthening you in ways that you may not even be aware until after the fact. Sometimes we get those glimpses in the midst of sufferings. We get those moments I call the 30,000 foot level. I shared this in small group, but when we're in the midst of suffering, it feels like we're walking up a really huge trail with a ton of switchbacks. I can remember one hike I did. It was Church Mountain, where my friends and I started early in the day, and we were just... It was like switchback after switchback after switchback, and it was raining, and it's like muddy, and we're slipping, and we're like, is it even worth it? Let's turn around. And we got to the top, and there was this awe-inspiring view, and you could literally see all the cascades around you. And I remember seeing the people down below who were with us, and we are yelling to them, it's worth it. I know it seems hard right now, and I know that you don't even know if you're going to be able to make it up that hill, but I'm telling you from this perspective here, it's worth it. And sometimes God gives us those things. Hopefully this sermon acts as that way to show, to remind you that God can use even your most difficult circumstances for your good, to help you persevere and to help you grow in character and to help you grow in hope. But sometimes we even have those moments where it's like, you know what, God, you just gave me the strength to get up that hill and to wake up this morning and to do what I needed to do. Thank you for that. And it's those moments there that the Holy Spirit is at work, pouring out His love and His grace in our lives and strengthening us more than we ever could imagine. And Paul wants to remind us of this truth, that through Jesus, we can have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe. And through His Spirit, we have a relationship with Him where He's pouring out His love. He's building into us even when we may not see it. And that gives us hope in the midst of our despair. That allows us to endure even when it seems like the circumstances around us are defeating us. Because we know that God can use even the most difficult circumstances for our good. And that's where our hope is found. But no matter how hard things get, Paul wants to also remind us that Christians know that better days await us because of what Christ has done for us. He says, through Him we've gained access into faith into which we now stand, and we hope in the glory of God. And the glory of God that Paul is talking about here is really the final new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. When Christ comes again, He's going to create all things new, and all the old, all the brokenness will be removed away. And so Paul says that even in the midst of hope, I want you to remember that there's three things that God can produce: perseverance, character, and hope. That you're never alone, that you have Jesus Christ, your Savior, who suffered on the cross, who showed you in the most extreme circumstances that God can use the most difficult circumstances for your good. He suffered the wrath of God on the cross for your sins, and that His pain and suffering brought you good. And that He and restored that relationship with you, that you have the Holy Spirit at work in your life, even when you don't see it, pouring out God's love and His grace and strengthening you and encouraging you more than you could ever imagine. But even on those days when it seems like it's going to win, like our cancer is terminal or where this thing will never end, what Paul wants to remind us of is that this world does not get the final answer. That someday there will always be light at the end of the tunnel because Christ is coming again and He is going to come and restore and make all things new. And so no matter how dark this world seems, we always have light because we know that one day all the pain and suffering will be removed away. And that gives us hope because we know that despair doesn't win. God's love in Jesus does. God's hope in the Holy Spirit does. And hope is always greater than despair. That's the message that Paul wants us to hear. That's the message of the gospel, that God can use all things ultimately for a good. He used Christ's suffering for your good and for your salvation, and He can use your suffering to help you grow and deepen in your understanding and your faith and the hope that He offers. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You for this opportunity that we have to come to You today. Lord, I pray that You use, Lord, we all are suffering. We're all going through difficult circumstances at some level in our lives. And Lord, when we suffer, we can question and we can wonder. Lord, I pray that You remind us today as we take communion that Christ's suffering on the cross brought us the salvation, that You used His suffering and His sacrifice for our good. And may that be a rally cry for us when we suffer, that we remind ourselves, even if it's for things that we did that are good, that it connects us to Your suffering and that You can ultimately use those for our good. Lord, help us to remember that we were broken and in need of Your grace, but You approached us in exactly that state. And even though we didn't deserve Your mercy, You gave us mercy and You gave us Your hope that comes in a faith in Jesus Christ. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who are living in that broken relationship, Lord, I pray that this message and that their conversations with their friends and their family challenge them to wrestle with that. That they don't worry about just getting through their day, but rather they worry about the thing that ultimately matters, and that is their relationship with You. But Lord, those of us who do have a relationship with You, Lord, I pray that you use this time to encourage us and challenge us and remind us of Your faithfulness and Your hope, even in the midst of dark days. We ask this all in Your precious name. Amen.